Welcome to Grief is the New Normal. I'm Dr. Heather Taylor, a licensed psychologist and grief specialist here to help change the conversation about grief and build community and connection while we all adjust to this new normal we are living in. This podcast is for you if you are grieving or if you are supporting someone in a season of grief. I'm glad you're here. Welcome, everyone. I'm so excited. Today, we have a special guest. This is Kara Sanchez. She is the editor and creator of Get Griefy magazine, and she's here to share a bit about her and her story and the mission of the magazine she created. And Kara, I'm so excited to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited, and I'm glad that we're having this conversation. And I don't know, I think we just hit it off, so I think this is going to be a good one.
I completely agree. I'm very excited. Let's just start off with an easy one. Do you mind introducing a bit about yourself, your background, and what you do?
Sure. So I'm Kara Sanchez, and I'm a mom of two. I'm a wife. I'm a high school Spanish teacher in the Chicagoland area. And in June of 2022, my mom unexpectedly died just a few days after my daughter was born. She was on vacation. She was 57, just completely caught me off guard. And so I guess that's kind of like where my grief journey started. I had lost people prior to that, but that was the most, I would say, profound or life-changing loss for me. And just from there, I've kind of branched out in all sorts of grief-related projects that have helped me heal as well as helped others and just given me a new purpose. So that's kind of like the high-level view of who I am.
Well, first off, I am so sorry about your mom, and especially losing her right after you had your daughter. Like, that's heartbreaking, and I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you've started a grief magazine. That's amazing. If you guys didn't catch that at the entry, it's called Get Griefy. It's got its first edition out. It's on Amazon, and you can follow along on Instagram. It's super exciting. Do you mind sharing about your journey to creating that Get Griefy community and building that space?
Yeah, for sure. So I started creating guided journals first. That was my, I guess, first outlet. And those were all inspired by conversations that I didn't get to have with my mom. And I would have felt heartbroken if I left my children in a similar situation. So I took all of those conversations that I wish that I could have had with my mom and turned it into a journal. And that the idea is that people fill it out and they leave it for their kids or their grandkids or whoever. But I originally started an Instagram for that just to get the word out about the journals, that they existed. And it kind of transformed into a place for me to share about my grief and create content. And I just quickly connected with a lot of other people. And I realized that what I was doing was not unique by any means. There were so many other people out there that were taking inspired action to create a legacy of their own based off of their own grief journey. And I just thought it was really inspiring and just beautiful. And I recognized that it was not getting the respect or the attention that it deserved, especially when it comes to like high level media. They only talk about grief or dying when it's about a celebrity or it's like an extremely tragic circumstance, which obviously still deserves that attention. But I don't know, it just made me sad that there was all these people out there that were doing incredible things with their grief. And yeah, it just wasn't really getting acknowledged. So I was like, well, then let's acknowledge it. So that's kind of where it came from, was wanting to create a space to tell those stories.
Oh, I love that. And yes, the popularized losses with celebrities or big tragic accidents. Yes, absolutely. Those are valid. And I loved how you described that. There's all of these incredible smaller stories that are still having an impact and deserve to have that voice. So then did you start the legacy letters first then? That's the journal prompts. And then you moved into the magazine?
Yeah. So Legacy Letters is about a year old now. I launched that April 11th. And then the magazine started right around the holidays this past November, right around Thanksgiving time is when the idea came to me. And I rolled with it. I'm the type of person that once an idea comes to me, I can't sit on it. I just get started immediately. I roll with it. I'm excited to say that the second issue is coming out. And I don't know, I just really hope it grows and it continues to gain momentum, because again, everyone's story deserves to be heard. It's been really, I don't know. I hate to use the word fun when it's like around grief, but it has been. So I don't know.
No, I love that. I think digging into the feelings is fun. I think talking about hard things is fun, and maybe not in like the traditional sense of like a roller coaster kind of fun, but although I guess some people don't think roller coasters are fun, but you know, like I think it gets exciting when people feel willing to be vulnerable and to grow a community based in authenticity and vulnerability, I think is such a beautiful thing. Yeah. I'm so excited about your magazine. And I have to ask, where did you come up with the name Get Griefy? It made me smile when I first saw that. I think it's brilliant.
You know, I feel like griefy is a term that's been thrown around a lot with like different podcasters. I know I follow the Good Morning podcast, Sal and Im from Australia, and they would always say like, oh, I had a griefy moment. And I feel like that term has been used a lot. And I don't know, I'm a huge fan of alliteration. So I was like, well, we're getting griefy, so let's do it, you know?
Yes, that's perfect. So what does it mean to you to teach and educate others about grief? And where do you pull those insights and resources from?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I guess it really does come down to my experience as a teacher. I think a lot of times I have to drag my students through lessons that sometimes they don't necessarily want to learn or they're not excited about. And I would have to say that grief is kind of the same thing. Like people are not all that excited about talking about grief or death and dying. And it's not always the most sexy of topics, right? We have to think of a way to make it so that it is approachable and that it is enjoyable. And it's something that people are drawn to. And so I guess that was kind of my rationale about making the magazine the way it is that it's bright and it's colorful and it's eye-catching. And that's kind of what I want, is for people to be drawn to it. So it's not as scary for them to, I guess, embark on that journey, because it can be a lot and it can be heavy, but there's some brightness and there's some beautiful light that can come from it as well. So it's important to kind of balance that out.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love that. And then as far as what do you look for when you're trying to figure out what stories to highlight or like creating your themes?
You know, I honestly, I'm searching for people that like I would see as like a friend almost. I'm looking for somebody that I feel like I could go have a drink with or go hang out with in my real personal life. But that's not to say that like I'm only reaching out or including people that are truly my friends. I'm trying to branch out a little bit too, but just like stories that are interesting or different or have a different angle that most people wouldn't necessarily think about. Like in this issue coming up, I have a woman who has figured out how to create like dream connections with her mother. And she's had over like 200 visitation dreams with her mom. And I don't know, I just find that completely fascinating. So just things that are of interest and are a little bit juicy, I would say, you know, out of the norm.
Yes. No, that's good. Well, and again, I think being creative in that way and helping provide alternative perspectives on grief, it helps reduce the stigma and the taboo. And so I think trying to find those stories that, like you said, are a little juicy, are more interesting or different, I think it can help with normalizing and building more context for what grief can look like and be like in that lived experience.
Yeah, so for sure.
Great. Okay. I know we talked a little bit in our pre-interview chat about making grief cool, quote unquote, cool and accessible. So what do you think helps make grief more relatable or cool?
I'm like a big fan of drawing from pop culture. I think that that helps. My next letter from the editor is I'm using Mean Girls quotes to describe my grief journey. And yes, I am making grief gruel. So that's like my, I don't know. I really think that that's something we all have in common. Like we all have this pop culture element in common. That's something that we all kind of, we know famous lines from movies and we know about actors and actresses and music and all that kind of stuff. And grief is also universal. So I feel like, why not marry the two, you know?
Yes. Oh, I think that's great. And as a Mean Girl fan, that makes me very excited to read your letter. If you're just using Mean Girl quotes, I think that's great. So I guess what would be a couple key takeaway pieces to understand about grief in your opinion? Like, what are those impactful nuggets?
Yeah, I think that for me, finding a community was super important for me.
Yeah.
Seeing that other people were going through similar situations made me feel less on a deserted island and more at a luau, like there's other people there with me, you know? And regardless, it's going to feel isolating, but when you realize that other people have lived through experiences, not like we need to compare, but you know, that are potentially worse, it gives you a little bit of like a kick in the pants and helps you put one foot in front of the other. So that for me has been super important. And just like owning my grief, I think at the beginning, it was something that I like tried to maybe hide, or I tried to perfect in a certain way that I wasn't as raw at the beginning, right? I wasn't as open. I wanted it to look like a pretty, like perfect box. And I was afraid of how people would judge the way I was grieving, or, you know, anything like that. And so I think the more you are authentic with your grief journey, and you don't have to like change your life to accept your grief, like your grief has to fit into like your existing life. So just trying to find a way to blend who you authentically are while still carrying that grief with you is super important, because it is going to change you, but it's also important to acknowledge who you were before the grief as well. And yeah, just you make space for it, but in a way that still allows you to be who you are.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. You know, I think you nailed it, right? Like the loss is going to change us regardless. Like there is no going back to what life was like pre-loss. And we are still the accumulation of all of those different life experiences and aspects of our personality. And so how do we make meaning from that and adjust to that new normal of this lost space that still honors who we are in an authentic way, honors the love we had for the person we lost, and that there is no one right way to grieve in all of that. And so we get to figure out what's going to make it uniquely special and meaningful for us. Like, I loved how you articulated that. That was.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Great.
That's how it is.
Yeah, exactly. So is there anything I haven't asked you about that you were hoping we would touch on?
No, I really encourage people to find ways that they can participate in the magazine. I'm definitely open for people to throw their hat in the ring. I'm really trying to like accommodate as many different people as possible. And so, yeah, there's just so many different ways to participate. There's a community blog that's open. There's like a space in there where people can write like short letters to their loved ones. And I just ask that they donate like a small amount of money, like $5 to the magazine for them to do that. And yeah, like leaving reviews is super important, and sharing that this exists is important. But yeah, just finding a way to participate, because this is for everyone. So I really want it to be a space where everyone feels like they're welcome and they can participate with us. So
love that. Yeah. So you have some cool upcoming projects. Would you like to share a bit about what you're currently working on and how people can contact you?
Yeah. So right now I'm buttoning up issue 2, which again is coming out April 15th. It will be virtual to start with. That's how both of them have started so far, as like a virtual issue that is on the platform issue. And the nice thing about that is that everything is linkable. So everyone that you see in there, you should be able to click on them and find their website, their social media, things like that.
Perfect.
But then, yes, I do eventually get it out on Amazon. It just takes a little bit longer for that part to come around. And yeah, I guess I'm already going to start working on issue 3 once that one comes out. So we'll see. But I don't know. I'm really kind of throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks right now. I'm very much open to, I don't know. I would love to like speak at different events. I would love to get more involved with different grief organizations, and I don't know. We'll see where this brings me, but I definitely know that working at this capacity like fills my cup. I love it. It's so much fun for me. So I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned, I guess.
Well, and I'll make sure to include links to the magazine. And if there's a certain email address you want for contact, I'll put those in the show notes so that people can access and reach out to you that way for collaboration or for, you know, buying me a cup of coffee. Well, Kara, it's been so great having you on. And I so appreciate you showing up as your authentic self in this space and for helping build and create this lovely, accepting community where we're not afraid to talk about our grief and then we get to normalize it for others. So I just thank you for doing that. It's such a gift you're giving.
No, thank you. And I'm glad that you are also here and talking about these things and participating with all the things that I'm doing. So it's been fun to get to know you, and you had me at your trauma treat is spedible cheese. I mean, I love it.
Wheat thins and spreadable cheese. Like, oh, it's a very unique flavor combination.
Exactly.
Triscuits and spreadable cheese. It just doesn't vibe the same way.
No, that's criminal.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on, and we look forward to future work that you're going to create and keep throwing the spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. And that's really exciting.
Oh, thank you. Likewise.
It was so lovely to have Kara from Get Griefy magazine on our show today and hearing about her unique journey with grief and how she's chosen to grow from that and create a welcoming, inviting space for others to share and process their grief stories and further normalize the grief conversations and the communities that we can have. This is such important work. Next up is Earth Day, and we're going to be enjoying an interview with a fellow clinician who marries grief work with ecotherapy. I'm really excited for that future conversation. So until next time, remember to be kind to yourself today. You're doing a great job. Take care. Opening and closing music, credit to The Datacorns. If you're interested in collaborating with me or grief consultations, please reach out to hello@griefisthenewnormal.com or feel free to check out my website at www.griefisthenewnormal.com for upcoming learning, supervision, and workshop opportunities. Thanks.